again. This is the old Good Morning Man, Kermit Edney, with program number 228 in a series of 260 chapters dealing with the happenings of the people or the people who made things happen here over the past 50 years, the WHKP years since 1946. We follow the same format used by Mr. Frank Fitzsimmons, so we call the series Where Fitz Left Off. Today, Donald H. Keith, son of Donald B. and Dean Keith, a professional undersea archaeologist of international fame who still remembers that his dad loved poetry and how his dad often recited long passages he'd memorized in his youth. An example coming up. I remember when young Donald Keith was to be interviewed on NBC's Today Show. I don't remember exactly what archaeological accomplishment had caused him to be spotlighted on the network program, but we were working with some friends at Channel 4 in Greenville trying to get a videotape of young Donald's interview. While being on TV is second nature with young Donald Keith, his real forte is writing. He's had articles published in Reader's Digest, National Geographic, National Geographic Research, Antiquity, and a host of professional archaeological magazines. In fact, young Donald said while he had written other articles of far greater significance, it was his first article in National Geographic about a shipwreck he had worked on in Korea that meant the most to his long-suffering parents, who up until that point had hoped that any day now, Donald would grow tired of larking around and find him a real job. Suddenly, he was literally immersed in a new career of underwater archaeology. For years, I'd heard that Donald and his crew had been successful in retrieving one of Columbus's ships, and that the ship had been transported to Texas A&M and was being kept for posterity in a saltwater tank. Now, actually, Donald was involved with the Corpus Christi Museum of Science and History, where he and his associates did build a conservation laboratory, which became the permanent home of the Columbus fleet, replicas of the Pinta, Nina, and Santa Maria, built in Spain. This was to commemorate the 500th anniversary of Columbus's first voyage to the New World. After working on sunken wrecks on sites in Jamaica, Korea, Italy, Turkey, and Mexico with the American Institute of Nautical Archaeology, and after 2 years researching the Chinese Age of Exploration and Discovery, which preceded Columbus by about a century, his big opportunity came. He was to lead an exploration team to study the shipwreck on the Molasses Reef, a part of the British Crown Colony of Turks and Caicos, about 90 miles north of Haiti. Their work was given the total blessing of the Crown Colony, and in addition, the government allowed them to take better than 10 tons of artifacts back to Texas A&M with them for cleaning, conserving, analyzing, and documenting. He and other graduate students under his leadership built a conservation lab at Texas A&M and spent the next 8 years in the tedious work of restoring these artifacts, which had been beneath the sea since 1520 to 1530. Donald said that as he commuted back and forth between College Station, Texas, and the Crown Colony of the Turks and Caicos, he made up his mind that someday there should be a museum set up on the island, which would be used to display these priceless artifacts when totally restored. In 1990, a group of influential citizens pooled resources and formed the Turks and Caicos National Museum. They converted one of the oldest stone buildings on the island and devoted the entire ground floor to the artifacts from the Molasses Reef wreck. The museum had been opened about a year when Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh, directed the Royal Britannia to make port at Turks and Caicos Island, and it was the pleasure of young Donald H. Keith of Hendersonville to serve as the Duke's private escort and guide. Don was at the end of the receiving line of all the high muckety-mucks of the island, and the Duke said nothing as he walked along, smiling, until he reached young Don Keith from Hendersonville, and he paused and asked him, "Where are you from?" Being a Navy man, the Prince, the Duke of Edinburgh, was truly interested in the artifacts which Don and his crew had recovered from the wreck of the Molasses Reef. And as he started to leave, he asked Don, "Have you ever had contact with the British Maritime Museum or the British Science Museum?" Don answered, "Both, sir." The Prince then pointed out he had been on the board of directors of both for 40 years, and Don said as the Duke left, he said, "If you ever need anything, give me a call." But Don said he failed to leave his number. That night, there was a big dinner aboard the Royal Britannia, and Don received a personal invitation from the Duke requesting that he attend the reception. And perhaps Donald H. Keith is the only American ever to have spent an evening being entertained aboard the Royal Britannia. I had mentioned Don recalling his years growing up with his family in Hendersonville, and how they often didn't agree with his plans for his future, but did give him full support once he'd made his decision. He recalled his dad reciting poetry memorized in high school and college, and closed his letter to me by surmising that in those times when his father wondered why his son would never come home and settle down and raise a family, maybe he should remember the concluding lines of Robert Frost's The Road Not Taken. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. A memory of a young man who concluded, I'm still not sure where that road leads. This from a seventh child of a seventh child, lucky enough to have been born here, the good sense never to leave, with a job he's loved all his life. Sursum corda, as we approach the next 50 years.